It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us this evening. Yes, so much talk last night of this NFL draft. Ugh. Well, we'll have a lot more of it to talk about tonight. But we're going to start things off talking about the Utah Jazz and specifically talking about how they're going to be able to figure out tonight against a really good Phoenix Suns team, especially with, a shorthanded group is going to be on the floor starting off things in Phoenix. Ben Anderson, who's our insider for the Utah Jazz on KSLSports.com, is joining us right now. That's part of our 7:05 cut. Let's do it.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, Ben, after a couple of losses to a struggling Minnesota team, the Jazz respond with a franchise record 154 points on Wednesday, and that's great. But Mike Conley didn't play in that game. He's not going to play in tonight's game against Phoenix. What are we expecting in this matchup tonight there in the Valley of the Sun? Well, I guess he dropped us. Scott, you want to answer that question for us, sir?
Well, the Jazz kind of have a hard time with teams that have really good guards. And as Ben said in the past, kind of big guards, they've had problems with the Phoenix Suns. And without Donovan Mitchell, without Mike Conley, I think you could expect it. And on the road, too. And a team that's pretty motivated in Phoenix, and that, you know, this is a big game for them to pull within the lead of the Western Conference. So I just think it's a tough game. Now, if the Jazz come out and shoot like they did the other night and they kind of play their basketball the way they've done it, then the Jazz can the Jazz can play with anyone on any given night, but I just think it's going to be a hard night without Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell.
Extremely difficult night, obviously, without those two, and I'm not sure what the status of Royce O'Neal is going to be, but Ben Anderson could help us out with that. Ben, thanks for being with us, man.
Yeah, it sounds like Royce O'Neal is going to play tonight. He's going to be out there, as you guys both mentioned, Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley not playing tonight. So, yeah, they're going to have to hope a little bit of the magic that they had in Sacramento carries over into Phoenix.
Does that kind of game, Ben, does that work well against the Suns? I mean, is this, you know, can they use a similar strategy that they used, or do they have to play different?
Well, Phoenix is going to be able to take out some of the things that Sacramento couldn't do. Phoenix with DeAndre Ayton can defend the pick and roll differently. Chris Paul is so good on the ball as a defender, and then they can counter with scores. I mean, one of the problems with Sacramento wasn't just that the Jazz were hot.
They missed everything.
Sacramento couldn't generate offense. Yeah, and when every shot rims out, that creates opportunities to run for the Jazz. When the Jazz are running, they're really good. Well, Phoenix is also a very good offensive team, so they're going to make more shots. They're going to run a more, you know, recognizable offense, which means the Jazz are going to be taking the ball out of bounds a lot more, and then you're trying to create an offense without Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley, and that's where it gets really difficult. But if Rudy Gobert can put pressure on the rim and the shooters can stay hot, yeah, the Jazz can still win this game.
One of the things that we were looking at, too, obviously at stake is, the Suns are one game behind the Jazz in the West. And, you know, as people sort of start to do they get their Western Conference abacus out and they start doing some of the math themselves. And with Phoenix and Utah tied up, if Phoenix win this one tonight, They also have the tie break, but on top of all of that, it's definitely a trend of the Jazz going one direction and Phoenix and the Clippers going another.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how these teams handle kind of these last nine games of the season after tonight, because the Jazz might be in a spot where they say, hey, you know, the odds of what it's going to take to stay with the one seed or overtake Phoenix, you're probably going to have to be playing your guys full time. You're probably going to have to be pushing guys down the road, knowing that Mike Conley's a little banged up, that Donovan Mitchell's a little banged up. The Jazz may just concede the second seed at this point and say, we don't think the Clippers are going to catch us. You've got a 3.5 game lead or 3-game lead at this point and the tiebreaker. So the odds of making up 4 games in that short of a period of time is really difficult. The Jazz may just say, hey, let's get healthy. Let's make sure our guys are well-rested. That could include Rudy Gobert a couple of games down the stretch. And just let Phoenix kind of run away with this thing. And you know what? If their gift in the second round is they play the Lakers and you get the Clippers, you're probably willing to take that trade.
So is it hard to kind of prepare for the playoffs with this kind of play-in system they have with these, you know, if you're the 1 or 2 seed for the Jazz and you're not really completely sure of your opponent, is that a challenge for teams that are preparing for the playoffs, or is it too early for something like that?
No, it certainly can be difficult because generally the season ends, let's say it ends on, I think it's May 11th this year, or May 12th, something around there. And then you'd have 3 or 4 days to know which one opponent you're going to be playing against, and you could practice for them every day. Well, now that next day you have the first play-in game, and whoever wins that gets the 7th seed, and that might affect the Jazz if they end up in the 2 seed. So that's actually beneficial. Whoever wins that first game, you know who you're playing, and then you'll have a couple of days to prepare for them. If you end up with a 1 seed, well, then the next 2 teams have to play, the loser of the 9-10 game and the loser of the 8-9 game, or I should say the winner of the 9-10 game, and the loser of the 7-8 game, excuse me, they have to play. And if one of those teams loses, then the next team goes in and plays. So you could end up, you know, waiting 3 days if you're the number 1 seed before knowing who you're going to play. And then you probably have only a day rest. So that might be a slight disadvantage. But whoever it is, Phoenix or the Jazz, who gets the 1 seed, they're going to have a huge advantage, whether it's Portland, San Antonio, you know, Golden State, Memphis. They're so much better than those teams. They should have a good opportunity to win in 4 or 5 games.
We've been watching this thing, of course, and Jazz fans are in a unique position right now of being in that West lead, you know, this late in the season. Probably the last time to see that was, you know, during the Karl Malone and John Stockton era. But as it goes, I think people are very nervous about Mike Conley's re-aggravated injury, Donovan Mitchell not getting a clear answer on whatever the reevaluation was going to be on him. And so what does the reality look like for the Jazz going into the playoffs? Are they going to be missing anybody, you think?
I don't think so. Mike Conley was on ESPN yesterday and said, you know what, I'm not going out there right now because I'm 85% and they just want me at 100%. So he would be playing, I would assume, right now if it was the playoffs. You know, he got hurt in that Timberwolves game and still finished, played until the very last second. So I suspect if he had to play, he would. That might not be the case right now with Donovan Mitchell because of that ankle. But the Jazz were supposed to offer an update today. They pushed it off till tomorrow because he's just staying back in Salt Lake while the team's been on the road trip. Even yesterday on that ESPN appearance, Mike Conley said, if we need to give Donovan a few extra games off to get his ankle right, it's worth doing. It doesn't sound like something that's going to last another 2 or 3 weeks.
Is there a possible letdown? So the Jazz were the first team to clinch a playoff spot, and they get to that. It just seems like the team, I don't know, I know they had an amazing night against Sacramento, but it seems like the team's a little maybe out of focus, a little bit tired, a little bit worn down. Can making the playoffs kind of just, you know, just lose your focus or just you take your foot off the gas a little bit? And if so, is that a bad thing leading up to the playoffs?
I actually think this might be where there's value that Phoenix is so close to the Jazz that they're playing some of these games. And actually, a lot of the teams the Jazz have left are good but not great. They're kind of going to be a good sharpening stone for the Jazz to stay on top of it because you're playing San Antonio twice. I think you still got a game against Golden State. You've got a game against Toronto tomorrow night. All of those teams are still trying to get into the play-in tournament. So they're not good teams. You know, they're ranked 7th through 10th right now in the West or the East, but they're not horrible teams. It's not the Sacramento Kings who you're going to beat by 50, who aren't really going to give you a true measuring stick of how well you're playing. So I think these are good teams to play against, you know, compete against. And if you don't beat them, it's not a huge deal because you're probably going to be locked into that second seed. But they're good enough that you're not going to be rusty by the time the playoffs roll around.
Ben Anderson, appreciate your time. The Jazz less than an hour away from tip-off. And, yeah, we'll be watching this one. Ben, thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Taking the break here. When we come back, we've got a lot to talk about. Zach Wilson made the trip from Ohio last night, where he was drafted second, went all the way up to New Jersey with his first press conference, what he had to say to his new team and his new fan base in his new town. Stay right here with us.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.